Thanks. I'm Stuart. I'm an addict. Where to start? I'm grateful that I've been asked to come down here, and I'm not going to sit here and talk about how grateful I am about everything, because I've only got 15 minutes, but I'm grateful. there's quite a few people I know in this room, so for... there's quite a lot of people I don't know in this room, and it's a busy meeting, so... Usually I say, when I do a chair, I'll always say, like, oh yeah, I was hoping there was going to be three or four people here, but I knew that weren't going to be the case tonight, so... I'm going to try not to swear, but I do, my higher power swears to me all the time, and it sort of rubs off on me, so I'm going to try, but I'm going to try my best. I'll just give you my story. So my using was quite unremarkable, to be honest, especially towards the end. I mean, at the beginning, it was fantastic. It was like a social thing. We was all out raving, I'd a daily habit, I suppose, when I was 14, but that was just with like puff and then speed and like acids and that kind of thing, and it didn't really sort of kick in until I started sort of 1991, 1992, when I would go raving, and it would, like, I found ecstasy, and it was like, wow, why have I been messing about with this other stuff for? Do you know what I mean? And I really did enjoy ecstasy. And like I said, I mean, it was really good. I mean, my friends used to go out and they'd do one pill or maybe half a pill, and I think, hey, what are you going to do on half a pill all night? It's just, and they'd say to, like, they'd be saying to me, oh, like, you need to slow down and this, that, and the other. And I think you need to let your hair down. Do you know what I mean? It's not because I didn't see my behaviour as shocking in any way, because the way I'd always done it, whether I was sort of over the park at 14 drinking or doing speed or puffing or whatever, I'd always sort of just did as much as possible in as short a time as possible, just to either black out or... So I thought that's what people did when they drank or took drugs or whatever. It was just to black out, basically, and not know where you'd gone or who you'd met or any of that. And that was basically what I was after. And that went on I was quite happy doing that for the first sort of 10 or 15 years. My using really did sort of, it took a turn for the worse when in 2003, my nephew was killed. And I dined out on that for the next 10 years, do you know what I mean? I was like, as far as anyone was concerned... you don't know what I've been through, you don't know what my family have been through, blah blah blah, I'm going to do this, and that was it. And by that time I'd sort of I'd found cocaine, and I was drinking pretty much every night as well, and a lot of the time what I would do, because I'd sort of managed to keep hold of a job as well for all this time, so what I'd do was I'd sort of be drinking and sniffing at night and smoking quite a lot of puff, and then I'd be taking anything like Zoppies or Mogadons or Amitriptylines or anything that was going to knock me out, just so I could sort of get sort of 2 or 3 hours sleep and then be up for work in the morning. And sometimes it was bad, sometimes I'd sort of get a bit of a control over it, do you know what I mean? But it was funny. I used to I'd always, at least once a year, I'd go, right, I'm gonna stop. But all I would do was, I'd never do abstinence. I'd sort of think, well, I'm sniffing too much, or I'm puffing too much, or I'm doing too much of this or two, and I'd just sort of play my drugs off against each other and sort of stop doing one and hit the others harder, basically. And I tried all kinds of ways. I've got a brother who used to live in Arizona, and I used to go out there once a year, and I'd take all my holiday in one go. And I'd get on the plane and I'd be thinking, this is fantastic, I'm gonna go out there, I won't know anyone to buy any coke, I won't know anyone to buy any puff, it's going to be brilliant. And I'd go out there, and for 4 or 5 weeks I'd drink like a fish and smoke crystal meth, and I'd come home feeling like I've had a detox and like I've been good to myself, and that was the reality of it. That was a madness, do you know what I mean? I just honestly thought, I've done well, do you know what I mean? And I'd come home and think, well, I'll just get a cheeky grand, do you know what I mean? And then it'd just be back to square one again. So yeah, like I say, I mean, that went on and on. Eventually, I mean, I'd had a few rock bottoms like you do, and to be honest, my last one was no different to any of the others that I'd had. It was just, for some reason, I just thought to myself, I've had enough, do you know what I mean? It's just time to stop, do you know what I mean? And I'd had a good run. I mean, I'd done sort of 24 years. I started at 14, finished at 38, but by that time, I came to my first meeting, and it was an NA meeting at the primary at the primary in Southgate, and because I live in North London, and so now I've gone down to this meeting. I don't know a soul in there. I've never been to a meeting. I don't know what to expect, and I couldn't even look in the mirror at that point. I mean, I'd lost getting on for 2 stone over Christmas for anxiety and not eating and sniffing too much and puffing too much and all that sort of thing. So I think the puff is bringing on the anxiety. I will say as well, I think that the skunk is so underrated. It was the one thing that was the hardest thing for me to put down. With the gear, it was like after a couple of days of stopping it, I didn't really have that obsession as such. Do you know what I mean? But with the puff, that was still on me for a good sort of 2 or 3 months after I'd sort of cleaned up. But anyway, yeah. So I went into my first meeting. I hated myself, hated everything I'd become. It was just I just weren't in a good way, and it was all I didn't know what to expect. And there was all these people that seemed quite genuinely happy to see me. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't know it. Weren't sure how to take it. But it was a good experience, and it luckily enough, I mean, I was lucky enough to have a friend that he was about 6 years clean. It was him that introduced me to all this stuff, and I was so grateful for that, because I would never have found these rooms without it. So I did my first meeting. I got myself involved pretty quick, to be honest. So I got myself a sponsor. I got myself some service as well, and I went a bit. I did go over the top with the service for the first year. It was I took on like 6 commitments, and because I was so sort of happy and grateful that I found this, and this is fantastic. And so I took on 6 commitments, and I'd see my sponsor one night a week, so every night was covered, which was good in a way, because like when I first came in, I was sort of between houses, and I was sort of plotting up for the first 3 months of my recovery with a couple of puff heads and a crack dealer, and I couldn't really spend too much quality time at home, so I thought the more meetings I do, the better. So that's why I got myself quite a bit of service. But 6 months in, I was thinking, I want to start doing some other meetings. And obviously, I was tied into all of these meetings because I've got service at all of them. So I think if I was to do that all over again, I think I should have took on 3 commitments rather than 6. But at the end of the day, I mean, it was good, and it kept me clean. And because I didn't, I cleaned up in the rooms. I didn't do treatment. I wasn't in a sort of position to be able to do that. I'd have lost my house, and I say lost my house. I'd sold one and was moving into a new place. But it was a bit of a weird sort of time in my life. So I basically cleaned up in the rooms, and it worked for me. I mean, what I found was that there's lots of people that are quite genuine, that actually just want you to do well at this stuff. And it says it in the reading about the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And I really do believe in that stuff, because it's the people in these rooms that, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of these people that have thought, right, I'm going to come to a meeting and I'm going to catch recovery off of this person or that person, because that's not how it works. But I mean, I've had to put some work in and go through the steps, and again, I'm not really going to rattle on too much about the steps, because I think it's like an individual thing. I think we'll go through them in our own way, and we all work them in our own way. But I think it was definitely the people in the rooms that just kept me coming back. I mean, there's people in this room tonight that I've known since I come into recovery, and it's nice that, don't get me wrong, I've seen a lot come and go, and I've seen a lot go and not come back, and hopefully they do make it back at some point. Do you know what I mean? But it's nice to know that there's at least sort of 2 or 3 people in this room that I've known since I came in, And some of them like came in at the same time as me as well, so which is nice. You sort of grow with these people, don't you? So yeah, it's and I think that okay, yeah, yeah. I think the reason why I'm so grateful for the people in the rooms is because when I first came, basically, all the God stuff kept me away from the rooms for a year, basically, because that's not my bag. I mean, don't get me wrong, if that is your bag, that's fantastic, but it's just not something that I can. It's not me. So, eventually, when I did come into the rooms and I started having to go through the steps, and it's all about this God stuff and all this stuff, and I was thinking, I can't. Do you know what I mean? This ain't a bit of me, but by that point, I'd realised that I just had to listen to someone else, and not because I'd made bad decisions for sort of 24 years on the spin, so I thought I'll just listen to someone else and do what they tell me to do. And by that, I don't mean that I've gone against everything that I believe, because I still don't do religion. Do you know what I mean? But I do. It's a spiritual program. It's not a religious one, and by spiritual, what I see as spiritual is just not being the person I was. Do you know what I mean? It's just trying to do the right thing. I haven't got to sit here and meditate for hours on end, or I haven't got to tell any of you to namaste or however you bloody pronounce it. But it's. As long as I'm trying to do the next right thing, and as long as I'm being genuine and sort of pure in my motives, then I'm usually all right. Because back when I was in addiction, because it weren't just about the using, it's about my thinking, and one of my things was people pleasing, but I would do that to get stuff out of people, and. Now I tend to, if I'm going to help someone, it's because I want to help them. Do you know what I mean? And it's because I don't want something out of them. It's just because they need my help, and I can do that. And I mean, the way I see it now is that I've been around a little while now. I'm coming. I'll be 3 years just after Christmas, and it's amazing. I mean, I couldn't get a day not by myself. But yeah, with the help of the people in these rooms, there's no way I'd have done it without them. So the way I see it is, people were here for me when I first came in, so I should. It's the least I can do is to stick around and be there for the next person that comes in. And that's the way I see it at the end of the day. I mean, I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful for all the people that are in it. I do kind of work it in my own way, but it works for me. And at the end of the day, NA's my home. Do you know what I mean? I've done a few fellowships in the past, but to be honest, I mean, it is all about NA for me. I think because of it's that. I mean, it says it in our step one. It's like, I'm powerless over my addiction. It doesn't say I'm powerless over this or that or whatever. I'm just powerless over me, basically. I've got no idea unless I've got people guiding me, which is where you lot come in. So yeah. Once again, I'm going to leave it there. So thanks for asking me to come and share. And yeah, that's all right.